reading is from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away... That's Star Wars. We don't have any wars in this story, but there is a star. So let me begin again. A long time ago, in a desert far, far away, there were three wise men. Sometimes we call them kings or magi, but really they were scientists of their day. They studied the stars and plotted the planets and measured the meteors. And one night, they saw something very special.
"Wow! Look at that amazingly bright star up there! Melchior, Gaspar, come and look!" "What is it, Balthazar? What have you seen?" "Hi, Melchior. Look up there. It's a supernova, I think."
Hang on a moment. What's going on here? I said there were three wise men. Are you playing all of them?"
"Yes. Well, budget cuts, you know. And Colin Firth's busy and had to cancel."
Okay then. Well, I suppose it will have to do. Well, let's get on with the story.
"Where was I? Oh, yes. Look up there! It's a supernova, I think. What do you reckon, Gaspar? Gaspar! Oh, I don't know, he's probably messing around with something as usual. A supernova, you say? I think you're right. Except the scientific terminology won't be invented for a couple of thousand yet, so we're a bit ahead of our time, but what could that mean? Well, I've been looking through my guide to the stars. And it says, a new star means a new king. Well, that's amazing. We should go and visit him. We can take gifts too. Something useful would be good. Or their latest toy, something every kid would want. Brilliant! That's all settled then. Meet you by the camels in half an hour." "Oh, there's a lot of stairs to go up to get here. Sorry I'm late, guys. I was just making, something. What have I missed? Only the biggest news of the century. We're going to find him and take him gifts. I suppose you'd better come too. Make sure you've got the new king. And make sure it's special, not your usual homemade made with love rubbish. What have you been making down there anyway? It's, well, I'm not sure really. Oh, Gaspar.
So, the three wise men packed their pyjamas and their toothbrushes and went on a long, long journey to find the new king. They took presents with them too. Balthazar took a very useful present. Melchior took the latest toy. Gaspar, well, Gaspar hadn't really had much time to get anything ready, so he just grabbed a lot of bits from his bench where he'd been making the, something.
Oh, I hate long journeys. These camels really give me a hump. Me too. What's Gaspar messing around with back there? I don't know. He's done nothing but fiddle, fiddle, fiddle with that stuff since we left. Hey, Gaspar, what are you making? Well, it's sort of... I'm not sure yet. Oh, Gaspar.
After many days of riding, a few wrong turns, and of course, an argument over the sat-nav, eventually, the wise men, the three wise men, reached their destination. It was not a palace as they had expected, but an ordinary looking place. The mum and the dad were not a queen and a king, but just ordinary people. The new baby was not wearing a crown, just ordinary baby clothes. But still, Balthazar, Melchior and Gaspar knew that this baby would grow up to be the king of kings.
Since I was the first one who saw the star, I should be the first one to give my gift to the new king. I have bought the best gift, a very practical gift. I've bought a very large tub of the best quality washing powder, the finest that money can buy. The new king is bound to think that my gift is the best. No. My gift is far better. I've been around all the shops and have the very latest fashionable toy. Every kid wants one, and it costs a packet, I can tell you. The new king will think that my gift is best. What about you, Gaspar? You're being very quiet. What have you bought? I don't really know what to call it. Oh, Gaspar.
So, the three wise men knelt before the new king and presented their gifts of gold. Frankenstein. And a myrrh. A myrrh, I don't know what you'd call it.
I drew that. Feel free to come have a look at the end. I'm very proud of it. It took hours.
Mary said thank you for the washing powder and the toy and put them away for later on, like much later when they'd actually invented the washing machine. But the amur she took and hung above the baby Jesus. Thank you. And Jesus looked at the amur and knew that Gaspar had made it, not with glitter and pipe cleaners, but with time, with care, and with lots of love. And that made it the best present of all. And that's why we have Christmas, because God sent Jesus to live with us and spend time, care, and lots of love on us. And that makes Jesus the best present of all. Well, we know that that isn't quite how it happened, but it was a fun way of doing it, I hope. It was for me, anyway, watching Ellie and doing the easy bit. Of course, the wise men didn't really bring washing powder and plastic or any other sort of toys, Frankenstein masks. They did bring gifts, though, and they were not the usual gifts for a baby. Well, now, hands up, possibly left hands up. How many of you are wearing something gold today? Lots of us. And maybe there's something else you're wearing that really is gold, a necklace, a bracelet, or something like that. Gold in the time that Jesus was born was something very much king-like. It was a gift for a king. I don't know about you, I kind of imagined that it was a reasonable quantity of gold, don't you? Might have been the sort of quantity of gold that kept Mary and Joseph and Jesus going. Frankincense, thank you very much. And frankincense brought, well, we don't really know who what the names were of the wise men, or even if there were three at all, but we know that there were three gifts. But traditionally, the second wise man was known as Melchior, and Melchior brought frankincense, which is something that you can burn. And the sweet smoke of the frankincense rising before the altar really represents prayer. It represents the fact that prayers do go somewhere. They go to someone who can do something about those things. And it's a reminder that through Jesus we can offer our prayers to God, and God can do something about the things for which we pray. Then the last gift. Myrrh. I mean, I wonder how often we actually use that word myrrh outside of this time of year. Doesn't tend to crop up very often, does it? But myrrh was brought by Gaspar in this story, or Caspar, or whatever is sometimes called that other wise man. And myrrh is a perfume that was used in the time of Mary and Joseph, when people died. It's a strange gift to bring, isn't it? It's not a very encouraging gift to bring to parents who have just put a brand new baby into the world. I don't recommend that you bring it if you've got friends that have a new baby. Very strange gift. But it reminds us that this myrrh was given to one who would grow up into a boy and then become a man, and then teach all sorts of wise and wonderful things that we need to learn from, but a man who eventually would die upon a cross, would die in our place, would die for the sins of all of us, would die for all of those who would believe in him and accept the forgiveness that he offers. It's interesting, we wind forward just a few months in our calendar to Easter time, that we know that Jesus died on what we call Good Friday. Not particularly good, we might think, but not good for Jesus, but good for us. But then on the third day after that, on the Sunday morning, when some women went along to anoint Jesus' body, as was the custom, perhaps with myrrh amongst those things, those spices, Jesus' body was gone. For he was no longer dead. He had risen to life again. And it's in that death of Jesus, in that rising to life, that really for us is the real meaning of Christmas time. Yes, great story. Great story. Lovely to look back and to think about those times when God, in the person of Jesus Christ, came into the world. But even on that manger, there was a shadow of the cross. But not a cross ultimately with a body on it. A cross that is empty. The kind of cross that we see behind me on the wall, a cross that no longer has that body on it, because Jesus is risen. And that makes Jesus the best, best present of all, even better than Gaspar's myrrh. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And yet we celebrate also that Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.